the great violinist, Niccolo Paganini. He willed his marvelous violin to Genoa, the city of his birth, but under one condition, that his instrument would never be played. It would basically be displayed. However, that was a very unfortunate condition because as long as wood is used and handled, it shows little wear. But something happens when it remains inactive. As soon as it is discarded and the instrument is no longer played, it begins to decay. And that's exactly what happened. Never being played, the exquisite mellow tone violin became worm-eaten in its beautiful case. The very violin that once played such beautiful music in the hand of the master was now ineffective and it was valueless, except as a relic, except as a display in a case. You know, as I thought about that true story, I believe the same is true for every Christian's spiritual gifts, which are beautiful when used in service to others the way God designed them to be, in the power of the Holy Spirit. But when not used, they become inactive and valueless, and a very significant purpose for which God has saved us and left us here on earth is lost. This morning, we're going to see how every single one of us as believers is to use our spiritual gifts, our God-given spiritual gifts, and how that is a very primary key to successful Christian ministry. What I'm talking about today, I'm going to use this material to turn into what I call of Finding Your Fit, which is a serve class. This morning and next week, I want to talk about finding your fit. This is where people can begin to discover their God-given spiritual gifts if they've never done that before. Many believers don't realize all that God has given to them to be used as part of His plan for them. And so we want to help them start serving the Lord. And I've decided to preach this because I want all of us to hear it. So this morning we're going to be looking at three facets of spiritual gifts that every believer needs to know. Three facets of spiritual gifts that every believer needs to know. But this morning I want to just focus on the first two. The first facet of spiritual gifts is the nature and purpose of gifts. The nature and purpose of gifts. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. Christ is committed to building His church. But it's amazing that the master builder of the church has chosen to build it through His people. This is why we're called in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, God's fellow workers. We are God's fellow workers. But the primary way in which Christ utilizes us in the building of His church is through the spiritual gifts that He has given to each one of us. The Greek word employed most frequently to describe spiritual gifts is the word charisma, which means gifts of grace. For they are unearned, they're undeserved, just like our salvation. These gifts are also called spirituals. Spirituals. referring to the gifts given and energized by the Spirit of God. Therefore, a spiritual gift is different from just having a natural talent or an ability. God gives talents. He gives abilities to believers and unbelievers. All of that is part of His common grace. But a spiritual gift is different, because a spiritual gift is a spiritual ability given to every born-again believer. Every person who has placed their faith in Jesus Christ is given a spiritual gift without exception at the moment of their salvation. And that is to be used to perform the specific role that God has for us in His church. Now, the primary biblical passages that address spiritual gifts are Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapters 12 through 14, Ephesians chapter 4, and 1 Peter 4. And it's from these passages that I believe we can glean at least 6 significant truths about spiritual gifts. The first significant truth is every believer is spiritually gifted. The truth of this, that every believer without exception is spiritually gifted by God, is repeatedly affirmed. Paul says in Romans 12:6 that we have gifts. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, he says, "But to each one is given the manifestation." The word grace, it's a synonym for gift. Each one is given the manifestation or gift of the Spirit. Verse 11 states that these gifts are given to each one individually. In Ephesians 4:7, we're told, "But to each one of us, grace was given." This grace gift is given to everyone who professes Christ. Peter states in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, "As each one has received a special gift." God gives to every believer at least one spiritual gift. And often, it's a combination of gifts, which many people call a gift mix. Each one of us has been saved to serve the living God. And He does that so that we would use the God-given spiritual gifts to serve Him. Secondly, God sovereignly distributes the gifts. Not only does every believer have one, at least one, but God is the one who sovereignly distributes the gifts. As you read through these passages, it's clear that the entire Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, is involved in distributing these spiritual gifts to believers. Primarily, in certain passages, it's the Holy Spirit. But we also see the Father and the Son giving these gifts. So the whole Trinity is involved. And God does so to each one individually. Listen to this. Just as He wills. He gives gifts just as He wills. In 1 Corinthians 12:18, it says, "just as He desired." And then in Hebrews 2:4, it says, "according to His will." As believers, we don't receive God's gift because we prayed for it, or we sought it out, or we coveted it, or we trained for it, we went to school to get it. The spiritual gifts or gift mix that each one of us has is solely according to God's sovereign will for our lives, not our will. He's our Creator. He knows every detail about our lives. We have what we have because of Him. But as our Redeemer, He has given us gifts specifically suited for us. Therefore, we need to get our eyes off of other people. We need to stop comparing ourselves with them. Why? Because every time we do, we end up getting in trouble. Every time we get our eyes off of God and off of what He's done for us and put them on other people, it leads to either discontent or pride. You see, some Christians think that God gave them less important, behind-the-scenes gifts, and therefore they become discontent, they become jealous, questioning God's love and God's goodness in their lives. Because they're not like somebody else. God must love that person better because of what He gave them. Romans chapter 9, verse 20 and 21 declares, "Who are you, O man, who answers back to God? The thing molded will not say to the molder, 'Why did you make me like this?' Will it? Or does not the potter have a right over the clay?" When we receive Him as our Savior, we receive Him as our Lord, our Master. He is sovereign over His people. And He is doing what He knows in His infinite wisdom is best for us. On the other hand, other Christians may have an inflated view of their value and their place in the church because they have more visible or prominent gifts. They end up being prideful and arrogant, looking down on and disparaging those who have lesser gifts than they do. Romans chapter 12, verse 3 exhorts us to not think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. And we're reminded in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, where Paul tells them, "What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it?" Bottom line is, whatever we have has been sovereignly given to us by God for a purpose, and it's unique to us. He Himself has sovereignly gifted each one of us to do exactly what He wants us to do. And He has placed us in the body exactly where He wants us to be. This is His doing, not ours. Speaking to believers, Jerry Bridges said it well when he said, and I quote, "He ordained a plan for your life before you were even born. And He has gifted you specifically to carry out that plan. Never disparage your gift. If you do, you are disparaging the plan of God and perhaps complaining against Him." Similarly, never look down on another person's gift. If you do, you are scorning the plan of God for that person. End quote. The third significant truth here is there is diversity of gifts. There's diversity of gifts. Paul's favorite metaphor for the church is that of a human body representing the body of Christ, the church. And the body metaphor emphasizes unity in the midst of diversity. Just as the physical body is one unified organism composed of many diverse parts or members, so the church is one unified organism made up of many different, uniquely gifted believers. Romans 12:6 says, "We have different gifts according to the grace given to each one." There's diversity in the church. You see, no Christian has all the gifts. And no two Christians have the exact gift mix in ministry as anyone else. In other words, there's no carbon copy of us. We're all unique. The specific giftedness of each believer is as unique as a snowflake or as our fingerprints, setting us apart from everyone else. This is emphasized in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where we're told that there are varieties of gifts that have varieties of ministries and varieties of effects. Some believers may have the same basic gift, such as teaching, but it can be manifested in a variety of different ways or ministries, areas of service. For example, one may be gifted in teaching children. Another works with youth. Others relate to adults. They even are able to teach at the college or seminary level. And then there's others who can teach any group of people, whether they're kids or seminary students. Again, we're all different. There's all kinds of different variety of ministries. And believers with the same basic gift can also have a variety of different effects. Or supernatural energizing by the Holy Spirit in what they do and their use of their gifts. So that there are different degrees of spiritual power, of effectiveness, of fruit. This is why not all gifts bring about the same kind or extent of results. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 13, verse 23, that believers will bear fruit, but some will be 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Apart from the Holy Spirit's enabling power working through us, we are absolutely bankrupt in and of ourselves to accomplish anything for God. We must constantly be totally dependent on Him. Remember what Jesus said in John 15, 5. Without me, you can do what? Nothing. You see, this is the beauty of God-created diversity. Every single gift is essential in the church and is important to God because all the members are equal in the body of Christ. Even those members that seem to be weaker and are less honorable because their gifts are less noticeable and behind the scenes, God says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 22 through 24, that He has given them more abundant honor. And He does this so that there is an exact equality and a perfect balance among the members of the body of Christ. Although we all have different God-given gifts, all of them are important. Therefore, we need to value and appreciate everyone because of the unique contribution that they make, whatever that is. Fourth, serving others builds Christ's church. The fourth truth that is significant about the gifts is that serving others builds Christ's church. The primary purpose of spiritual gifts is to glorify God by serving others. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11 says, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies. And here's why. So that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Elsewhere, we're told that spiritual gifts are for the common good and for the edification or the building up of the church. See, it's always about serving others, not ourselves. When every believer is faithfully using their spiritual gifts with this intent, Christ's church is built up. We see this in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, where it says, "From whom the whole body being fitted and held together with what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love." You see, God gave no one all the gifts because it's by His design that we be interdependent upon one another. As each individual part or believer faithfully uses his or her spiritual gifts, empowered by the Holy Spirit as we're depending on Him as we serve, God is bringing about growth. Every single one of us as believers is a minister. Ephesians 4:12 emphasizes that the responsibility of church leaders is the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. The pastors, the leaders, are the equippers. Believers are to minister. Every believer is a minister. They are to do the work of service. How are we going to do that? With the God-given gift that God has given to you. The word equipping here means to perfect, to mend, to prepare, to render complete, to bring to a point of usefulness. And a big part of doing this is helping believers discover their gifts and then be able to plug them in to serve in a way that brings joy to their hearts. Everyone serving the Lord through their giftedness is absolutely vital to the growth, to the maturity, and to the health of the local church. Everyone involved doing their part. And then the fifth significant truth is that God commands gifts to be used. God commanded in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, "As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." The word "employ" here is an imperative in the Greek. An imperative is a command. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. It means to minister, to exercise, to use that gift, that special gift God has given you. Every believer is commanded by God to use their spiritual gifts in serving others in the church as good stewards. A steward is one who manages what God has entrusted to them. A good steward is one who is doing that well. And as stewards, we will one day stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for how faithful we have been using our spiritual gifts that God Himself has entrusted to each one of us. Therefore, to have a gift from God and not use it is sin. To squander it is to face loss of reward one day in heaven. You see, this is why 1 Corinthians 4:2 tells us that it is required of stewards to be found what? Trustworthy, faithful. Let me ask you this morning, are you being a good steward of the spiritual gifts that God has entrusted to you? No one else can do the exact ministry that the Holy Spirit has specifically designed for you. No one but you can do that. Now, obviously, there are times when we all need a breather, or even what I like to call changing lanes, or ministries at different seasons in our lives. But since there is no such thing as retirement from serving the Lord, we must keep on running the race that God has set before us until our very last breath. Why? Because the finish line is heaven for all of us who know Him and belong to Him. And because everyone has a place, never in this life is there a time when we can just sit back like a spectator and assume that the church no longer needs our gifts. We must continue to contribute our unique part, even though it may seem small in comparison to the contribution of someone else. To not do so, we're told in 1 Corinthians 12:26, causes the whole church to suffer, to be limited in its ministries, and sometimes to even force other believers to have to step up and serve in areas where they have not been gifted. You see, everyone has a place. Everyone is important, and everyone must do their part. Charles Swindoll, I believe, said it best. And I quote, "You can sit in the back pew with your arms folded, listening to the rest of your church body play their spiritual instruments. But why should you listen, uninvolved and from a distance, when you have an important part to play? A part nobody else can play but you. Remember, if you refuse to use your gift, your fellow believers miss out on some important building up. And God misses out on some of the glory He so rightly deserves." End quote. And then sixth, the sixth truth that is significant. Love must motivate all gifts. Love must motivate all gifts. You see, believers can exercise their spiritual gifts in Christian service in many different ways and for many different reasons. But the only proper motivation that pleases God is love for Him and love for others. Jesus says in Matthew 22:37-40, that the greatest commandment is to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's passion. That's fervent love. This is a first and great commandment. The second's like unto it, to love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments, loving God and loving others, depend the whole law and the prophets. And when we love God and we love people, we will serve. Sandwiched between 1 Corinthians 12:14, a passage that talks about spiritual gifts, is chapter 13, which is a description of true love in action. You got spiritual gifts on both sides. And right in the middle is this whole focus on love and how that has to motivate the gifts. And it begins in verses 1-3 by showing that love is so important that even the greatest theological knowledge, the most extraordinary spiritual gifts, and the most sacrificial services, giving yourself to be burned, amount to absolutely nothing in God's eyes without love. Love is vital in our lives as believers because it is the greatest virtue. 1 Corinthians 13:13. It's the fulfillment of the law. Romans 13:10. It's not only a fruit of the Spirit, but it also must motivate the gifts of the Spirit. Because love, not spiritual gifts, love is the mark of true spirituality. And only when we as believers are motivated by Christ-like love, that which is selfless, that which is sacrificial, that which is other-centered, only when we're motivated by this kind of love and serving one another with our gifts, can we as a church continually be built up, as Ephesians 4:16 says, in love. The second facet of spiritual gifts that every believer needs to know is the way to find your fit. Now, next week, I'm going to look at each one of the permanent spiritual gifts from which God uniquely then gives at least one or a combination of gifts to every believer. So we're going to be looking at the various gifts that are available today from the Scripture that He uniquely gives in a combination or this gift mix to each one of us. But before that, I want to give you five practical things to do, I believe, to help you discover your spiritual gifts if you don't already know them. First of all, pray for God's wisdom. Pray for God's wisdom. Since your gift is a major part of God's will for your life, this isn't any small thing. He is very desirous that you know what the Spirit has given to you so you can use it. Therefore, prayer is an integral part of discovering your spiritual gift and finding your fit in the body of Christ. James 1:5 says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Come to Him, ask Him, Lord, show me. He says He gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Second, consider your natural abilities. Consider your natural abilities. Now, although I already said spiritual gifts and natural abilities and talents are two totally different things, sometimes the Spirit chooses to match one's spiritual gifts to one's natural abilities and resources. For example, those who have the natural ability to work with their hands may also be given the gift of helps, which we will see is also service that's expressed through their natural abilities. And then third, get involved in ministry. Get involved in ministry. I have a spiritual gift test that I'm going to be passing out next week to everyone who would like to have one, so you can begin to kind of get a jump start on what God's gift to you might be. But although a test like this can be helpful, nothing can replace getting involved in ministry, which is the proven ground where actual discovery takes place. You see, it's only as you serve in different areas of ministry that you're able to see where you are most fruitful, where you're most fulfilled. And if you have a desire for a particular ministry, I'd say begin there. If not, look for a need. And I'm going to also have a number of opportunities for ministry available. I think it's important to say that you're not locked in. You're free to try something else. If that's not a good fit in finding your fit, then look for something else. The big issue is not doing anything can't be an option. Fourth, evaluate what brings satisfaction. Although the primary purpose of spiritual gifts is to glorify God by serving others, an important byproduct of doing your gift, using that in ministry, is a deep sense of joy and satisfaction and gratitude that is not found in any other area of ministry. This is a good indication that you've come upon your spiritual gift. And then fifth, seek confirmation from others. Remember, as I've said all along, spiritual gifts are intended by God to serve others, to minister to others. They're not about ourselves. They're for other people, to minister to them. And because that's true, the ultimate test as to whether you have a particular gift or not is its beneficial ministry to other people. Now, this is going to require humility on our part, because it's seeking confirmation from others. It's making yourself vulnerable and with somebody who you respect or trust, and you're asking them for their honest feedback as to the benefit they receive from your service to confirm whether or not they believe you have that particular gift. And I say, don't just ask one person, get a few people's opinion on that. You see, because if nobody indicates that you have that gift, there's a good chance that's not your gift. Again, it takes humility, but we want to find out what God has given to us, because that's where we're going to be used most effectively and powerfully. The Spirit of God's going to be working through that in our life. What a privilege we have as believers to be a part of helping Christ build His church. May we all be good stewards of the God-given spiritual gifts that He has entrusted to each one of us by faithfully using them in the power of the Holy Spirit to serve other people, so that Jesus Christ may be properly represented and glorified in the church and in the world.